the Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thanks so much for tuning into the show as we celebrate all things creating and story. So let's get together and talk about imagination. I'm going to start because this is Library Day and on Art Zany Radio, and I'm like really excited. If you know me, you know I love books. My mom says that I was born with a book in my hands, and I've always loved reading in libraries, and my superheroes are librarians, so I cannot wait to learn more about our library. I grew up in a town that didn't have a library. It does now, but it didn't when I grew up, but it did have a bookmobile that came every week to the court at the bottom of the hill. And I had to wonder, I was thinking about this as I was writing this, I wonder if it came because, you know, it's a typical suburban neighborhood. A lot of dads went off to work and the moms and the caregivers stayed home and didn't have vehicles, so they came to see us. But they were my favorite people because I got to go visit the librarians. And it felt like they had a customized selection just for me every week that we went. And they brought the world to my backyard. And they were again, just heroes of mine. I also got lucky because many teachers at my elementary school loved reading aloud and talking about books. Mrs. Deer, D-E-A-R, and she suited that name really well, was my first grade teacher, and she loved books and authors and stories as much as I did. We did amazing things with books. The librarian at the elementary school, Miss Unger, who I've always wanted to track down and say thank you, she loved book reading as much as I did and loved to talk about books and loved connecting me with a new author or a new series. So I hope they knew how much they were loved. It's good to send some love to librarians. And my parents also indulged me with my joy of books. And one of my favorite days was the day that my mom came to my elementary school and had a talk with a librarian. I was probably in second grade, and I wanted to check out a book from, I don't know what they called it back then, the big kids section, right? And she said, no, you can't. Let me show you to some books that are more appropriate. And when I was told I couldn't read books, boo boy. Well, I went home and told my mom. She came in and she said that told the librarian I could read any book in the entire library that I wanted to. Thank you, Mom. I know you're listening. I loved that day. So I was never lonely growing up because I had my books and my stories, and that is my wish for everyone. May you be blessed with characters and adventures every day. We have an amazing library in Northfield, and I'm thrilled today to bring you some of the stories about our local library. I think you'll be surprised and amazed at what is waiting for you at the library. Today in the Art Zany Radio studio, we're going to talk to director Natalie Draper. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, I forgot to get your mic up. Sorry, I was slow on the button there.
That's okay. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. We're going to do this in like rotations. We've got tag team today.
Yes.
So we're going to fill the studio with librarians a few at a time. We'll start with Tyler Gardner. Welcome to Art Zany Radio.
Thanks, Paula.
And I'd love for each of you just to start off letting everybody know a little bit about your role at the library and what does that mean? What does it mean to say you're the director of the library? I know you do some things with tech and other so let's start and talk about your roles at the library.
Sure. I think a director, especially in a smaller library, I wear a lot of hats. I mean, certainly for the city, because as you know, you work with me with arts and culture too.
Right.
So there's an additional role there, but as the director, I mean, obviously I supervise operations. I keep track of budgetary matters. I get to work with a lot of wonderful people. But I also get to like help out with programs sometimes. Sometimes I even bring in some of my own programming or there's a lot of brainstorming with staff that happens around bringing in programs or resources for the community, things that are not books that we lend there. So yeah, there's a lot of other duties as assigned. I've plunged a toilet.
It's all, you have to keep everything moving.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's it's a great position, because but it does take, you have a lot of demands. And so we love having you here.
Well, one of my favorite things I get to do is stuff like this, where I get to talk about the library.
Exactly. So. And you have an anniversary coming up, right?
Yeah, February 1st was my first day, so 4 years and February 1st.
That feels like it went by in a blink.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm excited you're here today. You're going to be here through the whole show. She's going to be the consistent librarian voice here, and we'll keep going. Tyler, tell us about your role at the library.
Yeah, so technically my title is Emerging Technology Librarian, and I do a lot of things at the library. I buy materials like graphic novels, DVDs, vinyl records, CDs. I do programming as well. I do a lot of music and poetry programming. I'm kind of the liaison for the Northfield Poet Laureate. So I work with them to do open mic night and bring other poets to town. I take out the bookmobile. I help patrons with tech issues, both at our public computers and when they sign up for like hour-long tech times. I've also cleaned a toilet.
So probably over. Somebody needs to put, you know, scrape the snow off the sidewalk, or there's a lot that happens. It's like a little, its own community center in essence.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm delighted that you're both here. And I think maybe we can just talk by kind of expanding the idea of a library. I talked about it in terms of growing up. For me, it was books. It was all about books. And I think that was true for a lot of libraries. But over the years, it is like expounded to expanded and just in leaps and bounds with everything the community could think of. And it's probably different from community to community.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that libraries really excel at, is tailoring not just our spaces, but our services and collections to the character and the needs and interests and values of the community that we're serving. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. So I would love for each of you to tell me something surprising about the library that you think listeners would be like, oh, I never knew that. Or that's kind of interesting. Something unexpected that they might find. Who wants to start?
Sure. I'll start. So we've actually added a few things to the collection recently that people can take home that I personally think are exciting. So we have a vinyl record collection. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And along with that, we do have a portable record player that you can take home with you. So you could take the record player home. You could check out some records.
So if you don't have anything set up, that makes it possible for you to take that vinyl and get that experience.
Absolutely. You can be a part of this vinyl revitalization that's going on right now.
And I'm very happy about that.
Yes.
That's one of our goals this year, is to figure out, we've got some of the equipment, but it's not all attached and connected, and I want to listen to albums again.
Yeah, absolutely. So very recently, we added a bird watching kit. So this was kind of inspired by a lot of the book bag kits that we have for kids that usually have a couple of toys, a couple of books about a specific topic. Well, this one is for bird watching. We've got a really nice pair of Nikon binoculars, a couple of bird watching books written by a Minnesota author, focused on Minnesota, and a nice backpack. So it's kind of an all-in-one thing. You take it with you and you can do some bird watching.
Yeah, and we have a lot of great parks and arboretums and outdoor spaces to do that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I love that. And a library can pair you up with, you know, so if you start that and you think, and I'd like to read more about that, that, you know, you can go on that journey with all things in the collection.
Absolutely.
That's so exciting. How about for you, Natalie? What's something surprising that you want to share?
I think it's also in our library of things, the kind of the growing collection of stuff that we have. Some of the creative tools that we offer folks that they may not know. I know there's a few people who are very aware that we have sewing machines, because they're pretty much always circulating. They come and go very quickly. But
a real sewing machine.
It's the same one I have at home. And I do sew. If you know me, you know that I sew. So they're very nice. It's a heavy duty Singer. And I just think there's a lot of folks who think, I would really like to start sewing, but I'm not quite ready to make the investment in the machine, or I want to see if I like it before I spend $200 on a sewing machine. I think there's a small movement toward maybe not buying as much stuff to just have, right? We have houses full of stuff. Do we actually need all that? So I think there are some things that we could just borrow and share and then bring back if you don't actually need to own it. If you're just going to fix some curtains real quick, you don't need to own a sewing machine necessarily. Come and borrow ours. So I like that. And then kind of, you know, if somebody wanted to maybe do a sewing class and needed an extra machine, we've got that for them too. Along the same lines, we have a little wooden printing press that a lot of people don't know that you can borrow.
So you could print like art, your artwork or posters?
Mm-hmm. It's small. The print bed, I think, is legal size is the maximum size. So it's not huge, but it's big enough to, if you have, you can do pretty much anything with it. You can print with Lego. You can print with movable type. It's an adjustable bed print bed. So if you know anything at all about printing, you can do lino cuts.
Wow.
We've got, I think I've actually got a little note in here about a lino cut program coming up. That we're going to be doing for our teens. So, but it's something that you can borrow this. It's, you know, it's not super heavy. It's not like a great big metal printing press that you might have seen in a shop, but it's very functional.
Yeah.
That's something you can try and see if you like it and want to invest in a class or you want to, you know, do some more. That's what's exciting. Mm-hmm. I didn't know either of those things were available.
I mean, the list goes on really. I mean, we've got DSLR cameras, 360 cameras, hotspots, Roku devices with different streaming services loaded on them. And these are just the things that we check out. I mean, these aren't services even.
Yeah, right. That's astounding. So thank you for sharing that. I think I'll ask our other librarians too as they come in. What are some of the, so if they're listening, then they don't get a heads up on that. Tyler, you had a couple of events that you wanted to talk about that you're bringing to the library that we can share with our listeners.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff coming up. Tomorrow, actually, we're going to have a community sing-in. So that's Saturday, January 19th at 11 a.m. We've got a group of Carleton students who are going to come and lead this sing-in, and it was brought to me by Siriana Lundgren, who's a visiting professor of music at St. Olaf. And they're doing a class that is music and social justice. So basically what a sing-in is it's it invites members of the community to come together and song. It kind of celebrates the power of collective music making to foster connection. A lot of the songs usually come from the Justice Choir songbook, but other selections, as the students see fit, they're gonna bring those, and we're just gonna sing. And
I would think we have some amazing singers in this community, so I would imagine you can bring some really great. But do you have to have singing experience or knowledge of these songs prior to coming?
No. So they're going to be printing out a set list that's going to have lyrics. You can kind of drop in. You can stay for the whole thing. It's good for kids. They're possibly going to read a story. Kind of left it open to them to decide what they wanted to do.
And it's in the atrium.
It's going to be in the
atrium.
Have you
tested the acoustics in that space? I'm kind of curious.
It's great for singing.
I would
great
think it
for
would
sound.
Be.
Yeah, we have concerts in there often. We've actually got two concerts in the atrium in February. We usually, in the last few years, we had done like a winter concert series in the atrium at noon on Fridays. And this year we're going to do two. So on February 21st, we've got Over Yonder coming, which is a melodic acoustic cello guitar duo. And then on February 28th at noon, we have Diane Bush, who is a classically trained guitarist. She's going to come and do some classical Spanish folk music on acoustic guitar.
That sounds beautiful. Yeah. And it's like an hour long, like over your lunch break?
Yeah.
12 to 1?
Lunch breaks. 12 to 1. They'll usually run between 30 minutes to an hour.
I think that's lovely. And so how do these things happen at the library? How are programs developed? I mean, I think, a staff get to suggest what interests you, or do you hear from the community?
Everyone kind of has their lane. Obviously, they're welcome to step out of it. But because I do a lot of music programs, because I do a lot of poetry programs, a lot of times they come to me and they say, hey, we're interested in doing this. But I'm also aware of, you know, the people in town who are doing these things, so mm-hmm. I'll reach out to them sometimes. So it's kind of keeping your ear to the ground, seeing what's out there, and taking the offers as they come and trying to find a place to fit them in.
Yeah. You mentioned the poetry. We should talk about the Poet Laureate Program, and you help with putting together the newsletter that announces some of the events, and tell mm-hmm. us how that experience has been.
Yeah, that's great. So we've got a new Poet Laureate last year, Russ Paladin, and mm-hmm. it's been good working with him. It's something that he hasn't done before, so it's exciting to see him kind of take the Poet Laureate position and put his own little spin on it. And yeah, that has been great. We're working on a couple of programs, actually. We've got a Latino poetry workshop that's going to be happening in April, March or April, TBD at this point. And then we've got a poet coming from Winona, the former poet laureate of Winona, who's going to be coming on April 1st to kick off National Poetry Month. And since we're on the topic of poetry, I have to say that we had a grant funded by Selco to have a book of Northfield poets published in a book called Bridge and Division, which was a topographical poetry project started by former Northfield poet laureate Rob Hardy, which is, it's so nice to be able to provide an opportunity for Northfield poets to be in a book, to see their work, and to share that with the community.
And those are, it's a Bridge and Division, and that collection is for sale at the library.
Yes.
Where we can come in, and there are a few left, you said.
Absolutely. There are a lot left.
A lot left.
So come
oh,
on
okay.
in. $10 a piece, cash, ideally.
And they support, is it the Friends of the Library?
Yep. So all proceeds of the book will go to the Friends and Foundation of the Public Library, and the proceeds will go towards future poetry programming held at the library.
That helps. It's a full circle thing.
And
I love that it each of those poems highlights a specific location around the city.
Yes.
I think that it was a really clever idea to highlight some of the key places in town and had various people submit poems about those places.
Absolutely.
So you'll
Shout
recognize
out Rob
it
Hardy.
All
yes.
when you see that. So I think that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do we have anything else about the Bridge and Division? Though they can just go right up to the front desk, right?
Yep. They'll direct you upstairs. We keep them upstairs so we can kind of keep track of how many we're selling and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that's wonderful. And then I forgot to write down the Northfield Public Library has a poetry event once a month.
Yeah. Open mic night, second Wednesday of the month, 6:30 to 7:30. Come on in. Sign up. We usually have about 15 people. It can sometimes run the full hour. Usually everybody gets to read at least two, just depending on how long the poems are and how quickly we move down the list.
And some of it, I want to highlight for people that you can come just listen, which I love
Absolutely.
Doing. And then you can read poems from other published
yes.
authors.
It does not have to be your own poem.
Or you can try out some of your poetry and mm-hmm. have feedback or just, you know, celebration.
I mean, we have people come in and workshop poems that aren't even finished. So they'll read them and say, hey, if anybody has any, you know, mm-hmm. tips or ideas about this, let me know. Because they're working on their own poetry book, chat books, things like that.
Yeah, it's really high caliber quality.
Mm-hmm.
I love the variety of poetry that we get, but also how varied the audience is
yes.
for this. Like, it really brings all kinds to mm-hmm. this program, and it's wonderful to see so many people sharing space and sharing ideas with each other. People who may not normally interact, and I think that's what's, I think, at the heart of a lot of our programming. Is giving people the opportunity to actually spend time with their community, learn together, and share experiences. I think we get along a lot better when we share some experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and with this program especially, some of the more veteran poets in Northfield, they just love when new people show up. They love it when college kids show up to
yeah.
read their poetry, and it just, you see a spark in them that is, it's hard to describe. To see the passion that they have for other people's poetry.
I think you're right. It's something about our community. In every genre of art that I've talked to, there's a community of people who want to help support that, make connections for people, help people with their work so that they can get better and find out how to get to the next, whatever's mm-hmm. next for them. Thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else we missed from your list?
Just two things to mention. I've got a program coming up with Professor Emerita of Luther Seminary, Gracia Grindel. It's going to be in February. You'll have to check out our calendar for that. But she is a premier translator of Norwegian hymns. So she's going to be coming and talking about her work translating hymns for Luther. She's also a poet. And then this is way in the future, but we have completed the bookings for the 2025 summer concert series in the park. Very excited about that. We've got seven acts coming up, new and old. I'd say that the flavor of the summer is going to be an Americana folk theme. We've got, that's kind of a thread running through a lot of our acts this year. So really excited to have that, everybody booked and bringing those to the park with our new showmobile.
A new showmobile.
Yeah, city got a new stage.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, it's about time. That's so exciting. That is such a great community event as well. Just, and I think I read somewhere where you mentioned that, you know, the library, we take it with us, right? Yep. It's not mm-hmm. just yes. a building downtown. So some of those programs highlight how it goes out into the community.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you so cool. much. Yeah, I know we actually have to get you back to the desk so that the next round can come.
Yes.
And I appreciate you coming in and sharing your story and letting the folks listening know a little bit more about the Northfield Public Library.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Yeah. I want to remind people that we're here talking about the Northfield Public Library, and I didn't give the website. So I think it's something you should probably just have up on your whatever you use to access the web, the mynpl.org, and just flip on over to the calendar because there's something happening every day.
Mm-hmm. Multiple things happening on the same day.
Yes, yep. yes. Yep. So that you know what should I plan for today. Mm-hmm. And so I think we'll continue visiting here. I do have, let's see, Rich said, oh, he does. Should we play that song now? I think I love this song. So we're going to play it, and then you're going to help us switch out the studio. Mm-hmm. This is an original tune. Yes?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to try this and see if
Wendy made it.
I think so, too. Uh-huh. So let's see what happens.
We'll call it the love theme.
The love theme. Yes. Here we go. This is Library Love. Oh, wrong. There we go. That's why it isn't working. Okay, here we go.
Library love.
Shh. Library love.
Library love.
All right, folks, that's it. But that is an original song. It used to be the theme song that we would play for your events that you, because you do a weekly a little series.
Monthly.
You should
mm-hmm.
monthly. Excuse yeah. me. We should plug that as well.
Yeah, every first Friday I get to chat with Rich and Ryan in the morning, and it's a blast. I've been doing it for almost as long as I've been here. I think Rich let me come on, or Jeff let me come on the radio back in maybe the beginning of 2022. So I think maybe I've been here for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
I always think it was winter when I started. And I was so nervous.
I love that you bring show and tell.
Right. And so to help with my nerves, I brought a visual aid, which I didn't actually come in with one today. I'm bringing staff in. They can be
the
visual aid, right?
So that's something to look forward mm-hmm. to. So you can be appraised of what's happening. So have KYMN tuned on your radio right. as well. And so I just want to mention, too, the Northfield Public Library recently received an incredible honor, which mm-hmm. is the Library Journal's Best Small Library in America Award. They were one of two honorable mentions selected in conjunction with this, and it's recognizing the work of libraries that serve populations under 25,000. Mm-hmm. That was a huge honor.
It's a big deal.
It's huge.
It's really exciting. Yeah.
And so, and there was probably a lot of competition. There are a lot of libraries in America.
There's a lot of small libraries, too. It's amazing how many there are. I do occasionally go to the Association of Rural and Small Libraries Conference. It's a great organization that, and the conference is super because it's real little libraries. Sometimes it's with like a staff of two people, you know, in a very rural area. And so there we're one of kind of the big littles, I think, you know, but it's just a great opportunity to learn from folks who are also in areas that are a little further from metros, or, you know, you don't have these huge budgets or huge staff to do things. And so kind of what can you do on a shoestring? And so, yeah, there's a great network, and that ARSL is one of the organizations behind that award. So it was a real honor to be honored by them.
I mean, they said they highlighted the focus on equity through outreach, inclusive programming, and bilingual staffing, which is probably pretty rare. And so congrats on that.
We get asked a lot to talk to other libraries. Actually, I was just doing a webinar yesterday for the Prairie Lands Library Exchange on our approach to outreach. So it's something that more and more, especially after that happened, we've had libraries coming to us asking, how do you do it? And a lot of people want to know how you get started. And I think that really reflects the heart of libraries, is that this is something that we want it to be for absolutely everyone. And if there are people who are not coming in, we want to go to them and find out what we can be doing for them to help them, because this really is a space that's for everyone. We say all are welcome over the door, and we mean it. But sometimes it means you have to get out of the library to go and let people know that they're welcome. So we do really commit ourselves to outreach.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you had a program you wanted to mention while we're waiting for the next round of librarians to stop in.
Coming by the window, but I want to give a shout out to our youth services staff for the new Let's Imagine area. If you saw it around harvest time, we had the opportunity for you to pick corn and weigh it and sell it at a market stand. So it was a great space for the kind of playful learning and inquiry. Play really provides rich learning opportunities and leads to children's success and self-esteem. And so we have this area that we like to change up. And our youth services staff are so creative. Right now they have an ice fishing setup. And if you remember the little, there was like a battery operated game. It was popular when I was a kid anyway, which I'm not going to tell you when that was. But it is these little fish in it with a magnet in their mouth, and their mouths open and close, right? And you have the little, it doesn't rotate. I'll say ours doesn't rotate, because that was maybe a little bit too much science for us, but in a short time, because we don't leave it up for that long. But we do have a repurposed kiddie pool with the opportunity and some magnetic fish and some fishing lines, so kids can go ice fishing. We have a tackle box. We've got a whole setup. It's pretty darling. So folks who now can come to the youth services area, and you'll have a rotating Imagine space. So we have the kitchen set up still, but then you've got this other thing that's going to change with the seasons.
Yeah, and for parents, that the library is a great place to come and spend a couple hours, especially in the winter when you're like, what are we going to do? And we've got to get out of this house.
Well, there's not a lot of other indoor spaces to kind of just freely play, I think. And that's another thing with, you know, rural areas. There really aren't that many places inside if you want to get out of your house to go and take the kids for, you know, a couple hours just to blow some steam. So we're happy to be that space.
Yes, exactly.
A lot of enrichment.
And I saw Alexis and Francisco. I think they don't know that they can come in.
They probably don't know they can come in.
Are they listening? They can come on in. We'll get that set up and get our next round of Northfield Public Library staff to come in. And again, that website is mynpl.org/home. And we should be really proud of our downtown Northfield Library. There's a lot of great stuff. And I just realized we've got the third mic is kind of on the side. So if you guys could maybe swing that back and forth, and is that good? Or we can, that one, yeah, I can turn that one on. We'll get set up. We're doing the library, I don't know what we want to call it. It was a shuffle, but that doesn't have an L. I couldn't think of a dance that starts with an L.
Library shuffle.
Limbo, I don't know.
Library limbo, yeah, there you go.
So thank you everybody for coming in. We've got our next set of great Northfield Public Library librarians. Joining us is Alexis Kreft. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Of course, I'm thrilled. As I said, I love libraries, I love librarians, and I love this library. Also joining us is Francisco Murillo. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, you are also a librarian. I'd love for you to start, the way we started off with Tyler and Natalie is to tell us a little bit about what you do at the library and your role, and then I didn't give you this a question in advance, so I'll give it to you while you're talking about yourself. Something that you love about the library that might surprise people of something that's available or something that is, you know, special about the Northfield Public Library. So yeah. I'll have you introduce yourself, Alexis, and then we'll
absolutely
go from there.
I'm the Adult Outreach and Programming Librarian at MPL. I've been there since May of 23, so almost 2 years now. It's a lot of fun. I love working there. I love our staff. So my job looks like planning about 75% of the adult programs that we have at the library. My coworker Tyler, who was on before, handles the other part of that. And then also scheduling outreach visits with our community partners and working with our outreach team to coordinate those folks and make sure that we're being a great community partner to all the lovely organizations we work with here in Northfield.
Tell us a little about what does outreach mean for your job, and how do you define what is who are some of those partners?
Yeah, I think it looks like really keeping those two-way streets flowing, right? Like, we are giving something to our partners, and hopefully our partners are giving something to us. So hopefully I'll talk about later a really great partnership that I love with St. Olaf College, which is our AAPI celebration, which we had the first one last year, and we're excited to ramp it up again this year. But we have wonderful partners like 50 North, the Arts Guild, the Historical Society, which is my other gig, so I'm kind of my own partner for that one. So we really get kind of all fingers in the pie. I think a lot of folks in Northfield know us and know to reach out to us because we've built this really great reputation in the community. So part of my job is for the adult portion of it, just making sure those partnerships are alive and well, and that we're doing everything we can to help our community however we can.
I think I love what you said, that it's sometimes people think of libraries as that's where you go when you're a kid, but it's for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's every stage and age of life. And so that's an important thing to remind people of. Do you have something that you love or surprising about the library?
I just got to tell someone about our sewing machines for checkout.
Tell us.
Yeah, it was a lovely interaction because she came in for a passport appointment, which is another thing that people don't know that we do, and I'm a passport agent, so it's been really fun to see that come to fruition. So she came in for a passport, and while she was walking to the passport desk, she said, "Oh, you guys check out sewing machines?" I said, "Yeah, we check out sewing machines and telescopes and Rokus," and she was like, "Wow, that's really cool." So it was kind of a 1-2 punch of some of the great stuff we do over there.
That's phenomenal. I love that. And the passport business is a new addition.
That's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People really appreciate it, especially the nights and weekends hours. I was hearing a lot from folks when we were first talking about doing it. I was hearing people say, "Oh, that I had to take my kids out of school to go and get our passports. I wish that this had been around when we were doing that." So I think that for a lot of, especially for families, when we see a lot of whole families coming in together, mm-hmm. that's been a huge service to be able to do it in your hometown and not have to travel for that. Mm-hmm. Although we do have people now coming from outside Northfield to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'll say the thing I heard, this is a great story, but a family from Red Wing came to do their passports here because they could do it on a Saturday and then they could spend the day like hanging out, shopping, getting lunch. So it was a really fun like moment to be like, not only like what would be sort of an onerous bureaucratic experience becomes like a fun Saturday,
like an outing.
Yeah.
And you get your passport. So
that's fabulous and something that much needed. So yes. That's incredible. How about for you, Francisco? Tell us a little bit about your role at the library and something you love about being at the library.
I've been at the library for about 2 years now, a little over 2 years. I am a library assistant, bilingual library assistant. I'm also on the outreach team. And honestly, that's what pulled me into the library and what kept me there mm-hmm. is all the outreach we do. We do a wonderful job, of course, still checking out items, books, more than books, like we talked about, sewing machines and other stuff. But what I really enjoy is actually going out and helping the community, reaching those people that either can't make it to the library or just don't know that all the things that we offer there. Mm-hmm. And it's just giving back to the community that's given so much to me growing up here. And honestly, that's what I love about this library. I think it's really special in that way. I've talked to other people from other libraries and they are just astonished at how much we do outside of mm-hmm. the building. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of been something we've been talking about, how it's the library is the community, and so you have to be out in the community, and that's something you guys have all done. That's why you won that award. So let's talk. Both of you brought some events that you want to talk about. I want to make sure we get time because we have a lot of things happening.
Yes.
As I mentioned, that calendar is packed all the time.
Always.
So where would you like to start with, Alexis?
Yeah. Speaking of my aforementioned double duty at both institutions, the Northfield History Center and the Northfield Public Library, something that has come as a fruition of that is we are collaborating with them for their next History Happy Hour, which you probably have had Mark maybe on to talk about before, Mark or Sean. So this is a monthly program they do the first Monday of every month. And this next month, so February 3rd at 6 p.m., doors open at 5:30, we are having Teresa Wilhelm Waldorf, and she's going to be presenting on her book, Willem's Way. Basically, it's about Dr. Harvey Willem, who was the Iowa chemist who saved the Manhattan Project. And we've heard wonderful things from other libraries who have hosted Teresa. Well, it's a really great collaboration because we have legacy funding that we get through our SELCO, who is our regional library consortium. And so we get these authors that can come free of charge to us and make stops. And they've made stops at libraries all across southeastern Minnesota. And I was like, well, this sounds like a great history happy hour. This format is already here, has a built-in audience. So hopefully folks will come out and join us for that. Again, we've heard great feedback from people at other libraries who have hosted her. So that should be really fun.
And this town loves to learn.
Exactly. Yes.
You guys really like it.
Yes. And then I'm really excited. A recurring program, I think this is our fourth one that we're doing at the library, is our adult Lego craft nights.
Mm-hmm. I saw that, yeah. And I think that is super exciting because I know I used to play with them with my kids, but now I haven't taken them out in a while.
Yeah. So. Lego is back in a big way. We have Lego programs for kids. And then, you know, I was seeing a lot of young people. My younger sister is getting into Lego. Francisco's into Lego.
And
I thought it would be a great way to engage young adults and also to kind of like play like you would as like, you know, highlight your inner child, kind of. So we have this really great presenter, Judy Payne, who is a Lego aficionado. She knows all things Lego. She's just a fount of knowledge. And she leads these programs, and she's just fabulous. So our next one is February 6th at 6:30. Registration is required. I want to highlight that. We have limited spots because she custom makes kits for us.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So it's like we have 20 kits, and that's the max. So if people do want to come, please register online. But we always have so much fun at those. I have gotten to make a Lego turkey and a Lego pumpkin. We've made Lego trains, planes, and automobiles. It's been amazing.
And many of those things are round. I'm not sure. Like, how do you do?
I know. It's... Again, I just follow the directions. That's all I can do. Yes.
That's so fun. Everybody needs to play.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So it's super fun. And then the last program that I want to highlight is Book Bingo, which we're having for the first time on March 6th at 7 p.m. at Imminent Brewing, who, speaking of our community partners, they've been an awesome community partner with us. I have my monthly book club there. So that's another shout out for that. That's the first Wednesday of the month if people want to come. But March 6th is a Thursday. We're going to have Book Bingo, which is literally just bingo, except you can win books. Free books.
Woo!
Really great books. I've been kind of plucking them before they go to our sales shelf for the last few months. Some awesome titles that people I think will definitely want on their bookshelves. So come play bingo with us, learn about some library services, and win some free books at Imminent.
That sounds like the perfect night.
I know. I know. I
and you know, we should give some talk about your book club, because that's another like entire tab on the event. You go to the calendar, or you have book clubs that have their own space, because there's so much happening. And you do the Glass Half Full book club.
Yes. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. I've done it since we've been having it for about a year and a half now, about since I started at the library. So we meet at Imminent, which is really fun. It's the first Wednesday of the month. At 6:30, and we read books from all over the spectrum. That's what I kind of love about my book club. We try to read things that are pretty new within the last couple years, but we read fiction, nonfiction, romance, sci-fi, mystery, and we all have really, really great conversations about kind of hot topic issues, and it's just been a wonderful place for community building. There's been a lot of people that are new to town, a lot of folks who were stay-at-home parents who are kind of like going, you know, their kids are getting older and they're kind of getting back into the community. And it's just been a really awesome place for people to make friends and make connections.
And I want to tell people that those books are selected for the whole year.
Yep.
So you can go online and see what they're reading, and and people can come and go.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. And also don't worry about finishing the book. We have people that read the first two chapters and show up, and I'm so happy that they do. So it's super low stakes, super casual. We would just love if you come and chat with us.
I think that's always a rule, been a rule at any book club I've been in. You don't have to finish the book. Yeah. Just know that people are going to talk about the ending. So
exactly.
You'll find out what happens.
Spoilers ahead, yes.
So, fantastic. Yeah. Did we miss anything?
I have some big stuff coming up, but I can let Francisco go.
Okay, yes. We'll talk about some of that spring stuff.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, so let's hear from Francisco. You've got some programs that you do as well, which are really exciting. There's so much innovation in this town, and it's just reflected in all that happens at the library. There's something for everybody. Tell me some of the things you're involved with.
Yeah, so speaking of book clubs, something new that we just got started actually last year. We had this internship, and one of the interns started a film club. And it's pretty much like a book club where you watch the movie beforehand, and then you come and we discuss about it. I want to get the word out because it's just getting started. It's very fresh, and maybe not a lot of people know about it. But yeah, so just like a book club where you usually read and then discuss it after, you would watch it on our platform Canopy that we offer through our library card.
So that is it's free then for someone to watch the film?
Completely free, yep.
And if someone doesn't understand, what is that technology? How do I do that?
Yeah, so we offer online services through our library card if you are a Northfield resident, and one of them is Canopy. Canopy is a streaming service that is completely free with your library card, and it's got a bunch of movies in different languages. Just like any other streaming service, they refresh and add new movies every month. And so along with that, we also offer Libby and Hoopla. Hoopla has books, movies, and music, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then Libby is books, both ebooks and audiobooks. And again, that is all offered through your library card if you're a Northfield resident.
So that little card you have, it mm-hmm. takes you to all those worlds.
Yes.
Exactly.
And we can help you figure out how to use all of those things.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You can come to the library and we'll set you up.
Come on in and we'll hook you up.
Yeah. That's good, because some of that sounds, I don't know how to use some of those things, I have to admit. That seems like but it's not tough.
No.
Everyone can figure it out.
No. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so very I'm helpful. Intrigued by this film club. Tell people when it meets and, you know, what are some of the conversations that have happened in the past that you've talked about?
Yes, so we just changed it to every fourth Thursday. So it's at the very end of the month is when we meet. And a couple of the titles that are coming up that I think will hopefully grab the attention of some people in January, which is this month. Next week, we're going to talk about Anatomy of a Fall. That one was a film that came out in 2023 about a woman that is suspected of murder after her husband's death. And their half-blind son faces a moral dilemma as a main witness. It's a French film. I think it brings up wonderful conversations after watching that. And then the one for February, which I know is came out recently and is very not controversial, but we'll bring up topics to talk about, is The Whale.
I don't know this film.
Yeah, so it was kind of made as like Brandon Fraser's big comeback to the big screen.
Oh, that okay. Now yeah. It's coming
yep.
back.
Yep. Yep. And I haven't seen that yet, but I just heard there's a lot of things to talk about after watching
that. A lot of things to talk about.
Yeah.
People have very strong opinions about this movie, so I think it'll be a really good discussion.
And that's that's true for selecting a book for book club. You mm-hmm. want a book that has some heft to it, and same mm-hmm. thing for a movie, so that you have topics to like mm-hmm. debate or share stories or can make connections with people or like mm-hmm. you know, explore, so mm-hmm. that you know it would be terrible if it's like, oh, that was such a lovely happy movie.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, an example of that, we just watched the movie 400 Blows, another French film that's pretty much a kid growing up, and he just lives in a life that is one bad situation after another.
Mm-hmm.
And again, brought up conversations. I mean, not really a happy film, not really a happy ending, but it really got us talking about, you know, the point of view that was filmed through a kid's eyes, which is like everything's innocent. Everything they say is kind of just real. They have no reason to lie about anything. And so it's conversations like that I really enjoy mm-hmm. doing film club for.
Just like the book club, all the films are posted so that people can
correct.
You know, take a look. And that's kind of cool because you could get ready for the meeting in a couple hours. Like you
yes.
exactly,
sometimes
yeah.
reading a book takes
yes.
a little longer than
exactly.
that.
And that's a good part. Yeah. I mean, just pop it up and you can watch it and come back and we'll talk about it the next day.
Love it.
I mean, there's no shame. If you haven't read a book in the last year, it's okay. You're not alone, but you can watch a movie. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think I heard something about people watching, like, they're talking about the difference is loneliness and people that used to go to the theater and they would see 30 movies. Uh-huh. And now we watch like 7 movies a weekend at home alone. So there's,
yeah, let's get out and talk about those.
Yes. Let's get together.
Yeah, totally.
That's exciting. And tell us, you had another event too you want to talk about.
Yes. So, something I remember from my childhood was mini golf at the library.
Oh, fun. And
sadly, when I started working there, I found out that that wasn't a thing anymore. And, you know, with the help of the library, with Natalie and my supervisor, Angelica, really pushing me to get this going again, we are doing mini golf in March. We still don't have a set date, but it's definitely going to be a Saturday around spring break. We're going to do 9 holes.
So it's going to be all around the library.
So we're going to start off smaller and we're going to do just the children's area.
Okay.
But yes, when I was younger, it was the whole library. I remember you would start downstairs and then make your way upstairs, mm-hmm. and finish off over there. But we're just getting started, but this hopefully turns into something that we do, kind of more often, and it gets to the point where it's the whole library again.
I love it. That's like, sounds like so much fun, and I can imagine spring break is another one of those times when, mm-hmm. people are like looking for things to do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I want to mention too that Francisco applied for and received a grant to do this, so that's one of the duties of our programming staff is, mm-hmm. actually we look for other ways to fund this. A lot of, I mean, like you said, we have something every day, sometimes multiple things a day, mm-hmm. and it adds up. So we do actually look for grant funding for some of the programming that we do.
Well, congrats, mm-hmm. on receiving that grant. That's a big, yes. deal.
Yeah, we're very excited for it.
Yeah, I think I am too. So we got to get back to that special event you've got coming up in,
yes.
the spring.
Yes, I'm super excited about this. I mentioned it beforehand. So our Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islander celebration. I know that's a mouthful. We're working on a shorter title, I promise. But it's been a great collaboration with St. Olaf, with our Asian Studies Department. We had a fantastic celebration last year. We had student groups from St. Olaf. We had the Hmong Student Organization and the Karen Student Organization and Celebrate South Asia doing dance performances and K-pop dance performances and food and sugar art. I mean, like, it was just such a joyful, beautiful day. The library was absolutely packed. Literally every way you turn, there was something happening. And we're really excited to expand that event even further this year. So put it on your calendars. It's May 3rd. It's the first Saturday in May. And if folks remember the first few years of the Hispanic Heritage Celebration here in Northfield, where part of Washington, mm-hmm. Street was closed, that's kind of what we're moving towards. So we're closing part of the street. We're going to have the showmobile, like you see on our summer concert series. And I'm just super excited to expand this event even further. Ka Wong, who's at the Asian Studies Department at St. Olaf, has been an incredible partner. So we're going to be working with two separate Asian Studies classes at St. Olaf to put on this event. And then also, please mark your calendars for May 4th, the Sunday after. We're going to be having an anime fair at the library that's directed towards teens and above. But please, teens, feel free to come. There's an anime class at St. Olaf that's going to be doing all kinds of different events on cosplay and manga. And it's going to be really fun. So I am so, so excited and thrilled.
I'm just sitting here listening, thinking, like, librarians are like the dream makers, right? You know, you just bring these things to life that people want to celebrate or be a part of or connect with other people who like the same things. Yeah. And you guys are making all of this happen. It's just, it's phenomenal. And I'm looking at our list of things we wanted to cover and thinking, how are we going to get this in? So, Natalie, you had a few you wanted to share too. And so we should try to highlight some of those so we get those in as well.
Yeah, just a few things coming up for kids that I wanted to point out, too. We've spent a lot of time talking about adult and teen programming. We didn't have any youth services staff available, so I'm going to plug in for them. But coming up Friday, January 24th, we have an Artie Pants story time.
I love that name.
It just makes you want to come and hang out, right?
Right.
So this is stories, rhymes on a theme, and then making art relating to that theme. This is geared toward kids ages 2 to 5 and their caregivers. And then on the heels of our extremely popular teen time, that has Teen Tuesdays, rather, we've got a tween time coming up in February. This is on the 6th at 3:30. And this is kicking off an expanded slate of programs aimed at kids ages 8 to 11. So those in-betweeners. Tween time is going to be weekly, the same day and the same time, but the event and the activities are going to change. So this is a drop-in event for those that age group.
Tween six, being 8 to 11.
8 to 11,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, that's mm-hmm. something.
Not quite little kids, not quite teens. Mm-hmm. They often get missed, so we call them tweens and actually program to that age group where they're at developmentally and socially.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. And Kat has done a really great job of working with teens and tweens, but this particular Thursday, the 6th of February, we'll be working on Lego, because everybody at all ages yes. likes
the
Lego.
Great unifier Lego.
Yes.
How fun.
One more for sure is the potato derby workshop.
Okay, I saw yes. this and I can't wrap my head around it. What is a potato derby?
Well, we're going to find out together, because this is our first ever.
Okay, what
Whereas
happens?
Francisco's bringing back mini golf, we are introducing a potato derby. This is kind of for folks who just really love the worm derby.
Oh, okay, yes, the one that happened in Bridge Square.
Oh, that's great. That's actually, if you want to know what my personal favorite program is, it's that one. Mm-hmm. Everything about it. I even have now worm earrings and a worm dress that I wear. Mrs. Frizzle's an icon. But, so this workshop is for those wishing or getting interested in participating in the derby. Get your wheels and axles, learn physics tips on making your potato car speedy, and get inspired by images of potato cars. And we're going to be racing them on March 1st. So you're building them February 8th and racing them on March 1st. And this is in partnership, again, with St. Olaf. They're STEM Quest physics team. They're awesome.
They've yeah. won awards and they're yes, like amazing.
They're fantastic.
Yep.
Okay, so, but you're not making a potato that's going to sit for another month. And then if you make it on February 8th,
I think you're just getting all of the tools you
okay.
need. Yes.
I'm imagining a potato sitting out for
yes.
a month.
Yes, yes.
Especially if you've like put holes in it or something. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be roadworthy a month later.
Yes.
It's going to stink.
Although that's an interesting experiment as well.
Yes.
Yes. But
yeah, I think it's prepping for
yes.
the race.
And understanding what it is. Yes. And, and is this for kids and adults?
For kids, I believe. Adults
yeah,
are welcome to join, of course, but it's for younger kids. I think 11 and younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know some adults that might get kind of
I
excited
know.
About this.
Like the Pinewood Derby is another very nostalgic thing, like mini golf. I have very fond memories of watching my brother's Pinewood Derby racing. Uh-huh. So yes. it's in that line.
But
sure.
adults are always welcome to come and cheer on
yes.
Derby Day.
Oh, absolutely,
and
yes.
I had so much fun watching the Worm Derby mm-hmm. as well that yes. I think it's quite amazing. There's such an expanse of programs. I'm just astounded. One I wanted to mention, I saw you have the Spanish Conversation Table mm-hmm. coming back, and that's at a new time. Mm-hmm. It's Fridays 11:15, so you could listen to Art Zany Radio and then head down to the
yes.
The library. That's from 11:15 to noon, and with Rafael Volkomer Pastor,
mm-hmm.
and he is a Carleton Spanish Language Programming Assistant.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's exciting for those of us who feel like we need to practice.
Yeah. Speaking of another great partnership, we have a number of Carleton student workers who come to the mm-hmm. library to do their work study. And it's been a wonderful collaboration with them. And Rafael is one of those. And he's been with us for, this is now his second year.
Yeah.
And he's just great. People love him. So come,
yeah,
come hang out.
Come
hang out with Rafa and learn Spanish.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
what have
we
missed?
We were able to do so much more with our student workers than we would otherwise. So
I probably have to. I can't believe it. We have to wrap. Oh, my goodness. Go to mynpl.org and just search and find those people you want to make connections to. Fill your world with adventures and characters and have some fun at the Northfield Public Library. I want to thank all of my guests today. Natalie Draper, the director, Tyler Gardner, Alexis Kreft, and Francisco Murillo. So amazing. I love the library. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. Please always find time to add some Art Zany to your life. In the meantime, till next time, enjoy your imagination.
Minnesota. The truth is, yes,